Good morning. Today's daf in Shkalim daf Beis, beginning of the new Masechta. Shkalim is the next in the Masechtas here in Seder Moed. A couple of general points before we start to begin the actual Masechta. The Masechta itself is dedicated to the discussion of the collection of the Machzis Shekel that's done annually in the Beis Hamikdash. And for the most part, we're talking about the operating fund of the Beis Hamikdash. The karbanos that are brought daily in the Beis Hamikdash are funded by this operating fund, which is collected from what is public money. That's a general overview of a Masechta. It's 8 prakim long. Why are we learning Masechta Shkalim? The question is really predicated on the following. There is no Talmud Bavli on Masechta Shkalim. The Bavli covers, of the 12 Masechtas in Seder Moed, 11 of those Masechtas, which means that this is the only Masechta in Seder Moed that is not covered by the Talmud Bavli. I guess we can ask a larger question. Why isn't the Bavli covering Masechta Shkalim? But the answer is pretty obvious. This Masechta itself, it's not super obvious, but the Masechta itself is not dealing with Halacha L'maisa. Unfortunately, without the Beis HaMikdash, there is no annual fund to collect for operations, for temporal operations. So therefore, it is not L'maisa. Now, the answer is an incomplete answer, because I'm sure you noticed that in Seder Kachim, so there is a Bavli in every one of the Masechtas in Seder Kachim. So, Zvachim, Menachos, Chulin, Chulin's a lot of Halacha L'maisa, but Zvachim and Menachos, Krisus, right? There's Bavli and all that, and that's all dealing with Kachim, so over here this is dealing with Kachim, so what? So the yeshivas in Bavel were very happy learning Masechtas in Seder Kachim. So like I said, it's an incomplete answer. And I don't have the full answer in terms of why there's no Bavli on Masechtas Shkalim, but there's no Bavli. So what did the Daf Yomi decide? What did Rabbi Meir Shapiro decide? We're learning 11 Masechtas of Seder Moed. This is the only Masechta. It's printed in the Vilna Shas editions. So we're gonna learn the Mishnayos and Shkalim, and we're gonna learn the Talmud Yerushalmi as it's found published over here in the standard Vilna Shas. That was the executive decision that was made. It's so good. So now it affords us an opportunity. This is a once in a Daf Yomi opportunity to learn Talmud Yerushalmi. There's obviously Talmud Yerushalmi on many Masechtas and Shas, but this is the one that we're gonna be learning together. So what does that mean for you and I? It means that basically we're the away team. This is not going to be a home game. This is going to be an away game, right? We're very used to, very comfortable with the Lashon of the Bavli. The Yerushalmi is going to be a little bit different. It's still in Aramaic, as is the Bavli, but the Nusach is just going to be a little bit different than what we're used to in the Bavli. So names are going to be different. We're talking now about the Amoraim of Eretz Yisrael, not of Bavel. The names are going to be different, and just the Nusach is going to be a little bit different. It's going to be a little bit trickier to read. And also, in addition to that, just a couple of other general points over here regarding the Yerushalmi. So first of all, it was not commented on by the Rishonim, right? You'll see over here, there are many commentaries on the Daf and the Yerushalmi, Karban Eida, the Rivavan, Teklan Chadatin, Mishnas Eliyahu. The Rishonim themselves did not comment on the Yerushalmi. There's no Rashi, there's no Tosos, there's no Rush, there's no Ran. Truth of the matter is, historically, the Rivavan is a Rishon, but outside of that, the rest of what we're looking at over here are Achronim, right? Tiklin Chadatin, which we're going to be quoting from, that's pretty much the accepted commentary to the Yerushalmi in terms of what people are learning. So the Tiklin Chadatin was authored by a Talmud of the Vilna Gaon. So you're talking about a commentary that was written a little over 200 years ago. So it's they're more relatively recent works that we're reading in terms of helping us get through the Yerushalmi. So fine. So the Rishonim didn't comment on the Yerushalmi. It's not that the Rishonim were unaware of the Yerushalmi. The Rishonim were fully aware of the Yerushalmi, right? Throughout Shas, Tosos quotes from the Yerushalmi, you know, pretty frequently. So, as do the other Rishonim as well. So they knew the Yerushalmi. They just didn't focus on it like they did on the Bavli. As far as the Rishonim concerned, they viewed themselves as really descendants of the Bavli, both, genealogically and in terms of a Masora. So they view themselves as really being a product of the Bavli. Even Rashi, there's a Rashi in Chulin, somewhere in the Nuns. I don't remember exactly what daf. Rashi and Chulin says that we Ashkenazim, we're genealogically coming from the yeshivas of Bavel. So fine. So the so the Rishonim didn't really focus on the Yerushalmi in terms of writing commentaries on it. So that's why we don't have any Rishonim on the Yerushalmi. Again, the Rivavan himself is a Rishon, but outside of that, there are no quote unquote standard Rishonim on the Yerushalmi. One other general comment, and then we're going to jump right into the Masechta, and that is that you'll notice that two more points regarding the Masechta. Number one, the editing of the Gemara. So because the Bavli was learnt and relearnt and poured over by the Rishonim, so basically, and not only the Rishonim, the Bach and the Gra, so we have a really almost perfectly edited Bavli. With mistakes, but few mistakes. And by the time we got to the Bavli here in the last, you know, couple hundred years, so we're looking at a manuscript that's been poured over. As opposed to the Yerushalmi, mistakes abound. When I say mistakes, I mean, parts of the Gemara that just need editing. And, so you'll see on the side, the Bach and the Gra, so they write extensively on what should be the correct the correct word, the correct sequence, the correct phrase. So editing also is going to be a bit of a struggle. Like lines of the Gemara are going to be cut and paste and moved around. So it's a bit trickier just to navigate, just to read through the Yerushalmi. By the way, that's just a overall excuse in terms of when you hear me struggling through various lines. So you know. It could be me, but it probably is me. But the Yerushalmi is just not as edited as work as a Bavli. That's one point. And another point, which will become obvious as we go through this, is that the Yerushalmi's style is that it's much more succinct. It's much more to the point. There's not much discussion as you find in the Bavli, right? In the Bavli, pages and pages of Gemara dedicated to a single Mishnah. Over here, that's not the case. Almost every page we go through, we're going to be encountering a new Mishnah. The discussion over here in the Talmud Yerushalmi, in the actual Gemara itself, is going to be highly condensed. And that's an obvious point as we go through the Masechta, but still worthwhile making. Right over here, we're looking at 22 blot of Gemara from Beis to Chav Beis, and that covers 8 Prakim. To get through the 10 Prakim of Pesachim, that was 121 Dapim of Psachim. Okay. Anyway, hopefully you understand that last point. Let's begin. We are starting over here with the Mishnah on Beis Amud Aleph Be'echad Ba'Adar. So we're the first day of Adar. So a number of things are happening in the month of Adar. So Be'echad Ba'Adar Mashmim Alashkalim. So an announcement is made that the Machas Yisrael is going to be collected on the first day of Adar for reasons which are going to be clear in just a moment. Va'ala Klayim. And on top of that also, this is now when the growth is coming in, when the produce is just able to be seen, right? The trees are just beginning to bloom in the month of Adar. Obviously, the Nisan is really the springtime, but Adar just 1 month prior to that, so we're going to be able to see growth, and we're going to be able to see whether or not there's any mixtures of seeds, any cross seeds, and if in fact that's the case, so. People should be weary of that because kalayim is usur, and not only do you have to get rid of it in your field, you have to destroy. You can't even get hana from it. Okay, so this is all done the first day of Adar. Now the chamisha sabo. Now we move to the 15th day of Adar. So a number of things occur on the 15th of Adar. So koronis of Megillah b'krachim. So the Megillah is read in the walled cities. Now the Mishnah over here is really not focused on Purim. Obviously, there's a Masechta dedicated to Purim. It's called Masechta Megillah. But over here, as long as we brought up the 15th day of Adar, so the Mishnah just didn't want to let it go. So the Mishnah mentioned that reading of the Megillah occurs in the walled cities. Obviously, in the non-walled cities where the majority of Jews are, so the reading of the Megillah is going to be occurring on the 14th day of Adar. But on the 15th day of Adar, so those living in the walled city are going to be reading the Megillah. Umisaknes adrachim v'asim mikvos. Sorry, the Esha Rechovos Vesem Mikvos Amayim, and on top of that, all infrastructure. So the roads are going to be fixed, and the pathways, the roads, and the mikvahs are all going to be fixed, and we're going to be fixing the roads for what purpose? So the Tiklin Charitin over here says twofold. The Tiklin Charitin, by the way, also really tests eyesight. So. If you have a standard Gemara like I do, so you'll see that the printing over here is really small. So basically, I'm not going to read it inside, but basically, in terms of the fixing of the roads, so number one, we have Alila Regal coming up in just a month and a half, right? In other words, we're on the first day of Adar. Actually, no, I'm sorry, we're now on the 15th day of Adar. So a month away from Alila Regal, and it's less than a month away, because people are going to start making the trek, not on the 15th day of Nisan, but obviously, earlier, so that they're in Yerushalayim by the 15th day of Nisan. By the 14th day of Nisan, already they're in Yerushalayim. So already now, so roads are going to be made sure to be cleared for Ola Regalim. And on top of that, the Tiklin Chatatin also says that, look, we also need to make sure that roads are cleared up for people who need to go to the Arei Miklat. Again, we're talking about in Eretz Yisrael, where there was an Arei Miklat, more than one Arei Miklat, so all the roadways there are prepared as well. Okay, so that is infrastructure. And then Osin called Tzarchei Rabim. All Tzarchei Rabim are going to be done. What does that mean? Come back tomorrow. Tomorrow's daf, we're going to be discussing Tzarchei Rabim, exactly what that means. Umitzainen es akvaros. And also, we're going to make sure that all the cemeteries are marked so that we know exactly where all the graves are settled. And nobody's going to come into contact with Tumah by stepping over a grave. V'yotzen af halaklaim, and then we go out for klaim. Now, klaim was already announced on the first day of Adar. So why is klaim going ahead and repeat on the 15th day of Adar? The Gemara is going to ask that question tomorrow's daf. So again, come back tomorrow for a discussion of why the Mishnah repeats itself. Okay, so the Mishnah tells us now that basically, calendarically, in the month of Adar, we're looking at the first day of Adar, we're looking at the 15th day of Adar. And the first day of Adar, so announcements are made that people need to start sending in the shekel, their machzitz shekel, on the first day of Adar. One point of currency, which we're gonna keep revisiting. So just to be clear, the mitzvah in the Torah is that everybody gives a machzitz shekel every year. In the Mishnah, you're going to be reading about how everyone's giving a shekel. So what happened? Inflation? So not exactly. Yes, inflation, by the way, did happen, but that's not what's happening over here. In the Mishnah, the currency at the time of the Mishnah of a shekel is equivalent to a machitzis a shekel. That's why in the Mishnah we're always going to hear the word shekel, which is really equivalent to the Torah's machitzis a shekel. Now, the Gemara's discussion starts off, Lama Becha Ba'Adar. So why over here on the first day of Adar are we announcing about everyone bringing the machzitz to shekel? And the Gemara gives the obvious answer, Kadeshi Aviyu Yisrael Shekleim Be'onasam, because it's the right time. V'tishram Shumas Alishka Menachadash Bezmana. Because here's how the fiscal year works in the Beis HaMikdash. The first day of the fiscal year in the Beis HaMikdash is the first day of Nisan, Be'echad Be'Nisan. Since the first day of Nisan is the first day of the fiscal year, so in terms of collection, so we're now going to start collecting a month in advance. That's all they needed. A little bit later this morning, we're going to be talking about those people who live far away. So they send their shekel on the first day of Adar. It may not get there to Yerushalayim, but the first day of Nisan. So in just a little bit later, we're going to be discussing that very point. But in the meantime, however, let's just assume right now that if you start announcing that everyone needs to pay their machatzis shekel on the first day of Adar, so by the first day of Nisan now, so the Beis HaMikdash is going to have the necessary funds in order to fund the Beis HaMikdash annually. All the karbanos are going to be purchased from this collection. This point is going to be discussed in much greater detail over the course of this Masechta. So right now we could leave it at that. Amar Rebbe Shmuel Bar Ravi Yitzchak. Now I know it says Vimar. So I noticed in the Yerushalmi a lot of the olives get swallowed up. So just the style. So the Amar Rabbi Shmuel Bar Rav Yitzchak Trumas Alishka Katechila Dechsev Ayiba Chodesh Avisham B'Shana Hashenis Be'echal LaChodesh Ukama Mishkan. So the Gemara now is going to give sourcing. How do I know that the first day of Nisan is really the beginning of the fiscal year for operations of the Beis Hamikdash? So one source is the pasuk in the pasuk the Gemara just cited that it's on the first day. It's the end of Sefer Shmos and Parshas Pekudei. We just learned it a couple weeks ago. That it was in the first day of the first month of the first day of the second year after we left Mitzrayim, otherwise known as Rosh Chodesh Nisan. So Hukama Mishkan. So the Mishkan was set up on that day, meaning the Mishkan was actually set up a little bit earlier, a week earlier. There were 7 days of inauguration. Then on the eighth day, which coincides with the first day of Nisan of the second year of Yetzias Mitzrayim, so it's at that point in time now that the Mishkan is fully in operations. utini a lot, and on that pasuk we have a brisa. B'yom shukana mamishka, b'yom nitrima atruma. So it's at that point in time that the first withdrawal was made from this fund, from the operating funds. Okay. So that's one possible source that teaches us that the fiscal year for operations of the Beis HaMikdash begins on the first day of Nisan. Rebbe Tavi bar Rebbe Yoshia b'shem Kahana ne'emar kan chachay v'ne'emar lahalan chachay. So the Gemara is going to give us now a second source that tells us that the first day of Nisan is the beginning of the year, beginning of the financial year. So it says chachay on a couple of occasions. It says it in the beginning of Perek Yud Beis of Shmos, right? That this is the first. This is the first month of the year. Rishon hu lachem lechachay hashana, and it says it in. It says it again in Parshas Pinchas as we're introducing the Kabbanas that are brought annually. So ma chachay shenamar lahalan ein monim ela min nisan af chachay shenamar kan ein monim ela min nisan. So just like in Parshas Bo, it says b'feirish that that Nisan is the first month of the year. So too, when talking about the Karbanos, which is Parshas Pinchas, so Nisan now is going to become the first month of the year, meaning it's the beginning of the fiscal year. Amar Rabbi Yonah Shavak, Rav Tevi, Reshit the Masisa, Amar Sofa. So Rav Yonah over here is critical, meaning, okay, you quoted the Brisa. You quoted the Brisa incompletely. You didn't quote the beginning of the Brisa. Okay, fine. So he's just critical of the fact that the Brisa, the point is going to be correct. It's a incomplete citation of the Brisa. And then a question of Girsa. We have in our Gemara, Dalkan Kahadad Ditni. You can take a look at the Gra over here, who fixes up the Girsa a little bit. But anyway, basically, let me quote to you the entire Brisa. Zos Olash Chodesh Bechacho. So fine. So now at the beginning of the Brisa, this is the Ola of the Chodesh Bechacho, the carbon for Rosh Chodesh, Yachol Yeitarm Bechol Chodesh Vechodesh. Now, I might have thought that there should be a withdrawal every month. So, Tamalam Rabbe Chachay Lichachay Bechodesh Echad Utarim Lechol Chachay Hashana. Nope, there's going to be one withdrawal that's going to be done for the whole year. Yachol Be'ezer Chodesh Yirtza. Now, this could be done presumably any month you want. Nemer Kan Chachay V'nemer Lahalan Chachay Ma Chachay Shenemer Lahalan Eimonim Ela Minisan Av Chachay Shenemer Kan Eimonim Ela Minisan. Okay, that's the end of the Brisa, which we just cited moments earlier. And good. And so now this price over here, now given to us in its complete form, is arriving at the same point. That Nisan now, the first day of Nisan, is the beginning of the fiscal year, which means that the funds obviously need to be collected prior to that point in time. So we have the funds available for the entire operations of the Beis HaMikdash from the first day of Nisan until the last day of Adar. And that is the fiscal year of the Beis HaMikdash. Okay. So. First point that we covered in the Gemara over here is that Rosh Chodesh Nisan is the beginning of the fiscal year of operations, and the Gemara gave us two sources for that idea. Ma'o Mashmi'in. The Gemara says, okay, now, what does that mean that they're Mashmi'in? Ravuna Amar Machrizen. So Hashma over here of the Mishnah, so the Gemara gives a little more clarification. The Gemara quotes over here Ravuna. Now, we'll never know. I'll never know. Ravuna over here, is that the same Ravuna that's mentioned in the Bavli? Could be. Right, the Talmud Bavli is very comfortable quoting Amoraim of Eretz Yisrael, so it's fair to speculate that the Yerushalmi is quoting the Amoraim of Bavel. Could be, but at the same time, however, it's never really clear. And as you already saw, and we're going to be seeing time and again throughout this Yerushalmi, so there's just going to be a whole series of new names that are thrown at us. These are Amoraim that we're not used to hearing. So anyway, so Ravuna Amar Machrizen. So when the Mishnah says Mashmiim, it means Machrizen. You make a public proclamation. So Hech Ma Da'at Amar Ve'inu Kol B'Yehuda V'Yisholayim. Okay, and the Gemara quotes a pasuk from Divrei Yom that speaks to this idea of a public proclamation. Tamantaninan. Okay, now we're going to start with a Mishnah. This Mishnah is in Megillah. Ein Bein Adar Rishon La'Adar Sheni Ela Mikra Megillah Matanos La'Avyonim. When there's a double Adar, an Ibrayar, so in order to properly make up for the fact that on the solar calendar is 365 days, a lunar calendar has 354 days, that's an 11-day discrepancy. So approximately every third year, so you're going to have to add another month in order to make up for the deficit. Right, after 3 years, you have a 33-day deficit. So in order to make up for that deficit, so another month has to be added. Prior to the fixing of the calendar, So this was done as necessary. It came out to be about every third year, but prior to the fixing of the calendar. So it was done when Beis Din decided it was done. But again, the decision would happen about every third year. You know, with a whole bunch of rules and regulations in place in terms of when it's done and when it's not done. Actually, we're going to touch on some of those rules a little bit later on over here in this Gemara Yerushalmi. But the Gemara in Sanhedrin over there in the first Perek is really the main point where it discusses exactly when an Iber month is added and when it's not added, and also the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah as well. But anyway, the Mishnah over here says that when I have an Iber Yar, which means that there's going to be an Adar Aleph and there's an Adar Beis. So what's the difference between Adar Aleph and Adar Beis? So that's the Mishnah Megillah. The Mishnah Megillah says that there really is no difference. Ein bein Adar Rishon l'Adar Sheni. But of course, when are we going to be reading the Megillah? So it's going to be done in the second Adar. And together with Mikra Megillah, you're also going to have Matanos Le'avyonim. So Rabbi Saman B'Shem, Rabbi Yoshua Malevi, Af Shimur Shkalim V'Kalayim B'Neihem. So now the Gemara over here adds that in addition to what we learned in the Mishnah Megillah, another difference between Adar Aleph and Adar Beis is when are we going to announce the Machatzis HaShekel? And when are we going to be making the announcement for Kalai? Meaning, our Mishnah over here, Be'echad Ba'Adar, on the first day of Adar. So if it's an Iber Yar and there are two Adars, so the announcement is made when? In Adar Aleph or Adar Beis? So that's what we're hearing, B'Shem Rav Yeshua Malevi, it's going to be done in Adar Beis for the explanation the Gemara is about to give us. The next two lines of Gemara, starting with Rabbi Chelbo. So the Gaon says that it doesn't belong over here, it belongs on the Amud Beis. And some copier who copied over the manuscript and put it into the Amud Aleph as well. And so therefore we're just going to go right now to the drop down two lines. I'm a Rabbi Yossi. We're going to come back to these, the lines of Rabbi Chelbo on the Amud Beis of today's daf. So we're not missing it. The Gaon says it just simply doesn't belong here. Amar Rabbi Yossi v'yeyos. Rabbi Yossi says it makes a lot of sense. Meaning the idea that we're going to be announcing the shkolim and the climb on other based on other aleph yeyos. It's mistaber. Why? Because what do we know? It's the first point that we learned here in shkolim, and that is that the announcement of the Machatzis HaShekel is done on the first day of Adar, so that it's brought in the proper time. What is the proper time? Funds need to be collected by the first day of Nisan, 30 days later. So, im at amar ba'adar rishon, at kidon is b'shas ha'shisin yamin, so klum amru, sorry, that's already another point. So, and if we made the announcement on Adar Aleph, meaning if it's a double Adar, and we made the announcement on Adar Aleph, so that's 60 days in advance. 60 days in advance is no good. And the reason why it's no good, and Tikkun Chadatzin goes on to explain, the reason why it's no good is because, once you hear that you have 60 days to do something, so it's not demanding. There's no urgency. And we're all, it's human nature, and the Chachamim understood human nature really well. And okay, 60 days from now, so I'll tell you what, come back to me when I need to give my machatzis HaShekel. Okay, so it makes sense that the hashma, the hachraza of everyone bringing the shekel should be done on Adar Beis, not Adar Aleph. And as far as the kalayim are concerned, it's also mistaber. Klum amr yotzim afal kalayim lo kadesh yatzmachim nikarim, im omer at ba'adar rishon, at kedon ina dekikin. And the whole reason why we're making the announcement of Kalayim is because that's when the growth is starting to come in. If it's a year where there's going to be an Adar Aleph and Adar Beis, that means Adar Aleph is really early in the season. It means it's still wintertime. And there's not going to be any growth that's coming in on the Adar Aleph. And you make the announcement over Kalayim it's just too premature. Nothing's growing in yet. So we're not going to be able to see as to whether or not there's going to be any Kalayim. So for both points, for the hachraza on shekel and for the hachraza on kalayim, it makes sense that the announcement is coming at the beginning of Adar Beis, not Adar Aleph. It really only begs the question, why didn't the Mishnah in Megillah mention these points? Okay, I don't have a good answer. Rabbi Chizkiya Sha'al. Rabbi Chizkiya asked the following question. Now, the Tikkun Chadatzin says it doesn't really mean ask the following question. He asked. One of the things that we're going to have to get used to is that it's just a style. The wording of the Yerushalmi is just different than that of the Bavli. So over here, She'ilah, The way the Tiklun Chalitin understands it is that he knows he's right. Rabbi Chizkiah knows that he's right. He's basically throwing it up there in the Beis Medrash to see if anyone agrees with him. So, but it doesn't mean that he didn't know. He knew, or at least he was firm in his own opinion, and he just wanted to see if he can get accord with others in the Beis Medrash. So, Rabbi Chizkiah shall me'ata b'nei bava mashmim alashkolam miroshel shel choref. So we have the word low, the goan takes it out. Anyway, Kideshevi, Yisrael Shiklaim, Baonasam, Vitishon Chumasalishka, Menachadash Bizmana, Becha Benisan. Okay, so Rav Chizkiah's point is very simple. You live really far away from Yerushalayim. If you were to send your Machatzis Hashek on the first day of Adar, there is no way it's getting there in the month of, on the first day of Nisan. It's going to be more than 30 days travel. That kind of shipping is more than 30 days of shipping. So, it's really simple. So whatever the shipping is going to be, let's say you have to start shipping it 2 months in advance, 3 months in advance, whatever the winter time, whenever in the winter it demands it. In other words, you know how long shipping takes. So you're going to have to send your machatzis a shekel, not on the first day of Adar, but deep into the winter, 2, 3, 4 months in advance in order to make sure that your machatzis a shekel gets to Yerushalayim, gets to the treasury by the first day of Nisan. Okay. Now, It makes a lot of sense. Of course, the problem is that our Mishnah didn't say that. And so what he's doing over here is he's providing us a chiddush. So now he wants to test out whether or not they agree with him in the Beis Medrash or they don't agree with him in the Beis Medrash. So, Hesiv Rabbi Ula Kume Rabbi Mana. So Rabbi Ula, Rabbi Mana, two Amoraim of Eretz Yisrael. So, they say, we don't agree. Because the Hataninim, because there's a Mishnah. We're going to see this Mishnah later in our Masechta, and that is B'shlosha Prokim B'shana Tarmim Esalishka B'prosa Pesach B'prosa Tzeres B'prosa Chag. So 3 times a year there's going to be a withdrawal done from the treasury, meaning the treasury's collection is coming by the first day of Nisan, but 3 times a year there's going to be a withdrawal. The withdrawal is going to be done 15 days before Pesach, otherwise known as the first day of Nisan, 15 days before Shavuos, 15 days before Sukkot. Now, it happens to come out on Rosh Hashanah, but okay. It doesn't have to be precisely 15 days. Anyway, withdrawal is done 3 times a year. Now, why is withdrawal done 3 times a year? So the Gemara now is going to try to make a couple of arguments in terms of why that is. Right now, the most salient argument, which the Gemara is about to make, is because not all the monies are coming in by Rosh Chodesh Nisan. So some monies are coming in by Rosh Chodesh Nisan, those living proximate to Yerushalayim, but people living from further away, so their monies are coming in at a later point in time. So therefore, the withdrawal that's done on Rosh Chodesh Nisan is only for funds currently available, meaning right now the assumption is that there is no withdrawal that's done based on receivables that have not yet come in. And so therefore, the later withdrawals that are done on Shavuos and on Sukkot are going to be monies that are coming in for a later point in time. So that everyone is going to have participation in the Karbanos for this year. That's right now what the Gemara is assuming is the correct understanding of that Mishnah. Amar Lei. So the Gemara makes exactly this argument. Now, if this is a correct argument, so then it doesn't bode well for Rabbi Chizkiah. Rabbi Chizkiah says that everyone's money has to get in to the treasury by Rosh Chodesh Nisan. Therefore, those people who live further away, they're going to have to start sending their money already by the wintertime. And now, if our understanding of the Mishnah is correct, the Mishnah that says that was withdrawal is done 3 times a year, so presumably it's because monies are coming in later. Because right now, it would seem to be that the public proclamation is done universally on the first day of Adar, and people start to send monies in, and people living further away, their monies are going to come in at a later point in time. That seems to be the pshat, and if that pshat is correct, so then Rav Chizkiah seems not to be correct. So Amar Lei, now we turn to the top of the Amud Beis. Amar Lei, Kula Ka'achas Iba, V'lama Amru B'shosha Prakim, K'dei La'asos Pumbila Davar. So the Gemara says no. The Gemara says not necessarily. Here's what we could say. Rabbi Chizkiah is absolutely correct. Everyone's going to be sending in their shekelim, and those living further away, so they'll send their shekel in the middle of the winter, so that their shekel is going to get to the treasury in the Beis HaMikdash by the first day of Nisan. And let's totally defend and support Rabbi Chizkiah. 3 withdrawals a year. So the Gemara says, I'll give you a really simple explanation of why 3 withdrawals a year. 3 withdrawals a year because we just want to publicize that this is public money and the public money is going ahead and paying for all the public carbonas that are brought annually, and it's just simply for purposes of publicity. Good. The Tiklan Chadatin over here writes extensively on a number of other examples where things are done just to make the public aware. Okay, the Beis Hamikdash has to work on the PR and good. And what we just learned now is that it's legislated that the Beis Hamikdash is going to make sure that this is public money and the public knows that the public money is being used for the right reasons. Good. That's the Gemara's explanation in terms of why three withdrawals. And so therefore the Gemara now has defended Rabbi Chizkiah, and that those people living really far away, so they're gonna have to ship earlier. Their machatz is a shekel, so that all the monies get to the treasury by, the first day of Nisan. Okay. A little bit of Agadata right here on the first daf in Shkalim, in the Yerushalmi. So everything's shorter here in the Yerushalmi. All the discussions are shorter, and the Agadata also is gonna be a lot shorter. Rabbi Yehuda Bar Pazi B'Shem, Rabbi Hain, okay, unclear. Anyway, Nikra Velo Nivas, so, I see. The Hay goes with the word Hanikra. Hanikra Velo Nivas, fine. Anyway, you're gonna read these psukim and you're not gonna jump back, meaning these psukim over here are startling. And basically the idea that we're gonna express, or Rabbi Yehuda Bar Pazi is gonna express, is the idea that the Yetzer Hara is really strong. Now we all know this, right? It's the way we're all hardwired. But the Gemara is going to bring a lot of evidence in terms of the strength of the Yetzer Hara. Now, what is this doing over here? So, as we'll see, the Machtzis Shekel plays a role in this. So, Litova called Nediv Lev. So, when Moshe was looking for collection for the Mishkan, so Nediv Lev, so somebody who was philanthropic at heart, so they would give. But not everybody, meaning called the divlev. So the people who were extraordinarily philanthropic, they're the ones who give. And that was for the collection of the building of the Mishkan. Now when it came time to build the Egel Hazav, Yisparku Kola'am. So over here, everybody gave. The Pasuk says Kola'am. Okay, so again, the strength of the Yetzer Hara. A second piece of evidence. Latova, V'yose Moshe Sa'am. So when it came time for Moshe to have everybody assemble for Mam and Har Sinai, so Moshe had to literally push everybody out there. And now, l'ra'a v'tikravun alai kuchem. Now, in the beginning of Sefer Dvarim and Parshas Dvarim, so when everyone wanted to complain to Moshe, so they didn't need any invitation. Everybody came on their own. Okay. Litova, third example, as Yeshua Moshe in Israel. So when it came time to sing praise to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so Moshe had a lead, and Bnei Yisrael followed, and Lerav Atisa Koleida. However, when it came time for the report of the Meraglim and they spoke about Eretz Yisrael and how difficult it's going to be to conquer, so everybody lifted their voices. Vatisa Koleida, and there they didn't need anyone to lead them in complaining. They complained loudly, and no one needed to lead the way. So three just short examples contrasting how for a mitzvah we need encouragement. For Avera, we're kind of hardwired that way. Again, the strength of the Yetzer Hara. Am Rabbi Chiya bar Abba, Achen Hashkimu Hashchisu V'chol Hashchasa Shayu Osen B'Hashkama Hayu Osen Osa. A fourth example of this idea, and that is that the pasuk in Zephaniah describes how people to destroy, in other words, to satisfy the Yetzer Hara, so they would wake up early in the morning. Now, in order to do a mitzvah, so what do we say? Zrizim makdim la mitzvahs. Now, over here, that doesn't mean everybody wakes up early in order to do a mitzvah. If you happen to be a zariz, so you're going to wake up early to do a mitzvah. Zrizim makdim la mitzvahs. But anyway, the pasuk in Zephaniah says that hashkim hashchisu, so that everybody got up early in order to do a veiros. Okay, again, the power and the strength of the Yetzer Hara. And I guess the point of these Gemaras over here is that once we familiarize ourselves with how powerful the Yetzer Hara is, so we're gonna treat it seriously and realize that we're at war with the Yetzer Hara. Amar Rabbi Abba Bar Acha Ein At Yachol Amod Al Ufya Shel Umazu. The Gemara over here gives another commentary on the Jewish people, and that is the Jewish people they're fickle. It's really hard to figure out the Jewish people. Okay, sometimes. I could totally relate. So nidbain leigel nosten, nidbain lemishkan nosten. Look in Sefer Shmos. So we saw that they collected for the eagle, everyone gave. They collected for the Mishkan, everybody gave. I don't understand. You're giving for the Egel, you're giving for the Mishkan? Okay, that's the Jewish people. Okay. Tana, Rev Yehuda, Rabbi Chanina, Hadam, Asisim, Asisim, Kapor, Zav, Tahor. So, and the way the Tikkun Chatatan understands this is that he disagrees, meaning it's not, right, he's arguing on the point that we just made. It's not that the Jewish people are a fickle people. The bringing of the money for the Mishkan was precisely as a kapara for the Egel. So, Hadam Asisim Vasisim Kapar Zav Tahor, Yavoz Zav Shal Kapar Zvi Chaper Al Zav Shal Egel. So, the bringing of the money, and specifically over here, for the cover of the Aron, and it's built into the name. The cover of the Aron is called the Kaporis. And so, the idea over here is that it's called the Kaporis. It's really a Kapara. The Jewish people wanted a Kapara after having given money for the Egel Zahav. So now it's a Kapara. They're going to give money now for the Mishkan. And specifically, the Kli in the Mishkan called the Kaporis. Okay. There is a really basic fundamental, debate, occurring in the end of Sefer Shmos between Rashi and the Ramban. The way the Torah presents it to us, the building of the Mishkan occurred before the Chet HaEgel, right? In the Parshas of Truma and Tetzaveh, so the instructions to build the Mishkan. Then Parshas Kisisa, Chet HaEgel. And then afterwards, Vayakob Pekude, we actually put together the Mishkan. Okay. That's how the last five, Parshas in Shmos lay out. So Rashi over there writes that truth of the matter is first came Chet HaEgel, and then, as a kapara for the Chet HaEgel, so we have the Mishkan. That's Rashi's understanding. The Parshios of Truma Tetzaveh come before Parshios Kisisa, so Rashi writes, Ein Muktam Amucha B'Torah, there's no sequence, there's no chronology in the Torah. Chronologically, it was first Chet HaEgel, and then the building of the Mishkan, but the Mishkan simply was placed there first. And obviously, for reasons which we're not going to go through right now, but the Mishkan was placed there first. Okay, that's Rashi and Chumash. Our Gemara that we just learned together, it seems to be an extraordinarily strong support for this idea. That really first came the Chet HaEgel, and then the Mishkan comes as a Kapara. The Ramban writes, and this is just a general discussion debate between Rashi and the Ramban. The Ramban writes, no, we don't say in Muktam Umuchar B'Torah. Now the Ramban does not deny that there is a concept, there is a principle of Ein Muktam Amucha B'Torah. It's a Gemara that we learned in Pesachim together not so long ago. Okay, I take it back. Long time ago. But it's a Gemara in Pesachim. But the Ramban says in terms of application of Ein Muktam Amucha B'Torah, the Ramban is very limited in terms of when to apply it. Basically, it's when the Torah is dating and the dates are clearly out of order. Then we'll say Ein Muktam Amucha B'Torah. But generally speaking, the Ramban says no. The building of the Mishkan was part and parcel of the plan even before Chet HaEgel. Okay, anyway, much longer discussion, but our Gemara over here certainly seems to be a really strong support for Rashi. Rebbe Chanan b'Shem Shimon Gamliel, Shalosh Trumos Namru b'Parshas Zos. If you open up to the beginning of Parshas Truma, so encoded in the beginning of that Parsha, there really are three collections. One is Trumas Adonim, second is Trumas Shkalim, and third is Trumas HaMishkan. And now the Gemara is going to quote the Psukim that cite these three Trumas, and I'm going to explain each one of these Trumas. Dabra Abnei Yisrael V'chuli Truma, so Zu Trumas Adonim. So first, a collection for the Adonim. The Adonim are the sockets. The Mishkan had these large beams that created the perimeter around the Mishkan, and these beams stood on silver, on these silver sockets. Those are the Adonim. So the Adonim are made up of silver, and so the coins that were given actually were going to be used. The physical coins themselves are going to be used in order to create the Adonim, the silver sockets on the bottom. Obviously, it's a known amount, it's a known quantity in terms of how much we need, so that's going to be a fixed amount in terms of what they give. And may eis kol isha asher yidvenu libo tikhuz truma si. Now going on in the Pesukim and Truma, so the next collection is the Truma Shkalim. So that is the Truma of the Shkalim, that's a machatis shekel. Were there, that was for operating funds, meaning all the karbanos are going to be purchased for public karbanos, so that's going to be the second collection. And a third collection, v'zos trumas asher tikhu mitam zu trumas ha-mishkan. The actual, this is not operation, but this is capital. This is for the building of the Mishkan, so that's going to be the third collection. So zu trumas ha-mishkan, that's a reference to trumas ha-mishkan. Trumas ha-mishkan, le-mishkan. So now, as far as trumas ha-mishkan is concerned, that's going to go towards the Mishkan, meaning people can actually donate the raw materials necessary to build the Mishkan. Mashi yirtzi yasu. Truma shkalim le carbon. The truma of the shekel, that's going to be for the carbon. That's for operation. Now, that's a tough line of the Yerushalmi that we just read. So the Tikkun Charitin understands that it doesn't have to be a shekel. It just has to be that it's going to be standard for everybody. Everybody's going to be contributing the same amount. This is going to be a flat tax, if you will. And not based on percentage, but just simply based on the common currency at the time. But everyone's going to be giving the same amount. And as far as the collection for the sockets of the Mishkan, so those silver sockets, it's a known amount. That has to be exactly a shekel from everybody. Okay. So those are the three collections that are done from everybody. So he says, you know what? You're going to find the same thing also in Parshas Kisisa. So over there, you see the word truma mentioned three times. It's a reference to the three collections that was, as we just articulated. The Gemara over here does not bother to tell us which truma in Parshas Kisisa is going to be for which one of the collections. And I'll leave it for you for homework, to try to figure out. And the Tikkun Charitin, by the way, goes through it here as well, which in Parshas Kisisa, which truma corresponds to which one of the collections that we just described. A little bit more for today's daf. Betezva bo korinus Megillah bekrachim on the 15th day. So we're reading the Megillah. The Gemara here is going to be spending just a little bit of time talking about the mitzvah of Mikra Megillah. It does come up in our Mishnah. So the Gemara is just going to touch on it for a moment with actually a really big chiddush. So we have over here, maybe take out the word low. Anyway, Kena Amar Rebbe Chalbo. This is a halacha said over in the name of Rebbe Chalbo. Rav Huna, Rav B'Shem, Rebbe Chia Rabba. Okay, again, it's really tricky to read. Anyway, it's basically Rav quoting his uncle, Rebbe Chia. So, HaKal Yosem, Yadalad, Shuhu's Man Kriyasa. So, if let's say you're a Ben Krach, you're a person living in the city, which means that your date to read the Megillah is the 15th. So, if you read on the 15th, on the 14th, so you're a Yotze Zayin. You fulfilled your obligation. So, lo ba elam decha shekola mitzvah sonogas ba'adar, sheni eina nohagas ba'adar rishon. Now, as far as our Mishnah is concerned, our Mishnah's main point is that it's done in Adar Sheni, not in Adar Aleph. But in terms of, if you're Ben Krach, and you read on the 14th, that's fine. That'll work. Now, that obviously is a big chiddush. Meaning, one could have made the argument very simply that, no. Both the Megillah itself and the Gemara Megillah is very clear. If you're living in the Aria Perazos in a unwalled city, you read on the 14th. If you live in a walled city, you read on the 15th. It seems to be pretty clear. But meanwhile, Rebbe Chalbo over here is introducing us to a chiddush, is that even if you live in a walled city and you read on the 14th, that's fine. And the only point Armish is just trying to highlight and emphasize is that, you read the Megillah on Adar Beis and on Adar Aleph. Rebbe Yosi, Rebbe Acha, having Yasvin, Am Rebbe Yosi, Rebbe Acha, Lo, Mr. Abba, El Shaavar, Aval, Lahaba, Lo. Okay, a really difficult line to read over here in the Yerushalmi. So over here, the Gra, right, who makes a lot of editorial comments on the Yerushalmi. So over here, he takes a lot of time to explain this line of the Gemara. And I'm just gonna say it outside, right? I have it all underlined, but I'll just say it all outside. And that is that the Chiddush Rebbe Chalbo is that it's not a b'di'evet halacha, meaning that let's say you're a Ben Krach and you should be reading the Megillah on the 15th and you read on the 14th. It's not the pshat that somebody comes over, that you go over to a Rav, let's say a week later and say, you know, I read on the 14th. He's like, it's okay. You were still Yotzei the Mitzvah. No. The pshat of Rebbe Chalbo is that if let's say you read the Megillah on the 14th, you're living in the walled city and you're reading on the 14th, and then you went to the Rav immediately after you read the Megillah. And you said, you know, I read the Megillah. So they'll tell you, good, you were Yotzei. Even though the 15th is still coming up, you're still going to be Yotzei. That's the Chiddush of Rebbe Chalbo. Otherwise, Rebbe Chalbo is not saying anything. So what the Gemara is just doing is emphasizing how big a Chiddush Rebbe Chalbo is making. So, V'hatini, Malkum Shenag Likros Noshen Yamim Korm Nosar Shnei Yamim. So he says that's really difficult. It's difficult to understand. Do you know that there are towns in Eretz Yisrael where they read on both days, the Megillah on 2 days? Tveria, for example. Right? I'm just going back to the Gemara Megillah. So Tveria is a town where it's unclear whether Tveria should be reading on the 14th and the 15th. And when we get to the Gemara Megillah, we're going to understand a lot better why it's a suffix. But for our purposes right now, all we need to know is that it's a suffix. And therefore they read on the 14th and the 15th. So you're telling me that if you're a Ben Krach reading on the 14th, so you're Yotze, and again, even if there's the 15th coming up. Meanwhile, in Tveria, they're reading both on the 14th and on the 15th. He says it's really difficult to understand that Rabbi Chalbo is correct. So Amalei Af Anas Avakein, Am Rabbi Man of Yehus, and he says, look, it's Mistaber. Makes a lot of sense. Ilu Mishik Rabbi Yodal Chozav Rabbi Tesvav Shema Ein Shaman Lo Im At Amarkein Nimsa Okers Man Krachim Biadecha. So he says, look, if we're talking about institutional decisions, where we're telling everybody that you don't have to read on the 15th, even though this could very well be a walled city, and you should be reading on the 15th. So you start publicizing it, so then no one's going to end up reading on the 15th, and you're going to be losing out the institution of reading in the walled city on the 15th. All Rabbi Chalbo is telling us is that for an individual who read on the 14th, meaning an individual of a walled city, if he read on the 14th, that's perfectly fine. That's acceptable. And again, acceptable not only b'dieved, but l'chatchila, that's acceptable. But but from an institutional standpoint, from a public standpoint, the public position is that walled cities are reading on the 15th. Okay, so that's how the Gemara navigates through the discussion, right? The Rabbi Chalbo, to the best of my knowledge, is not brought down in the Rambam, it's not brought down in the Halacha, but the idea over here, Rabbi Chalbo, is that even if you're living in a walled city, still the main date of reading the Megillah, not for the city, it's going to be the 15th, but for you individually, still the 14th is the Iker Yom, and so therefore, if you elect to read on the 14th, so you fulfilled your obligation. Okay. Tani Rav Shimon Gamla Omer Mitzvah Sanagas Ba'adar Sheni Eina Nahagas Barishon Chutz Mehespe Vitanis Shein Shavim Bezeh Uvezeh. Okay, once again, we're going to go back and finish up our daf, and we're going to be contrasting Adar Aleph and Adar Beis. When it comes to the Adar Aleph and Adar Beis, the mitzvahs are done on Adar Beis. Mikra Megillah, Matan Slev Yonim, all the mitzvahs are done on Adar Beis. Where they're the same is going to be Hespen and Tanis, meaning an Adar Aleph of an Ibriyar. So you're not going to be able to fast on the 14th. Right, it's what we call Purim Katan, and you're not fasting on the 15th. It's what we call Shushan Purim Katan, meaning that vis-a-vis the Isurim of Tanis and Hespeid, so that applies both to the first and the second Adar. But outside that, the mitzvahs are done on the second Adar. Rabbi Ba, Rabbi Yirmiyah, B'shem Rabbi Simon, B'shem Rabbi Yeshua Malevi, Halacha Rav Shimon Gamliel. And now the Gemara says that's the halacha. And Rav Huna, Rabba, Ditziporin Amar, Hinig, Rabbi. I guess it's Rabbi Chanina, Bitziporin, Ke Hada, the Rabbi Shimon Gamliel. We don't publicly broadcast that's the halacha, but that's an haga. That's the practice. Meaning, it's not going to be said over in public discourse, but privately people are going to say it. So, lo amar elahinig, ha, la halacha lo. And that, the Gemara makes exactly that point. Meaning, it's not an haga. I'm sorry, it's not a halacha that we publicly say, but it's an haga. Avalin yishtaros. Now, as far as writing up documents, so on an Ibriyar, when you know there's going to be a first and second Adar, so how do you properly write up documents? So Le'inyan Shtaros Kosrin Adar Rishon V'Adar Sheni Stam. So if you're writing up a document, so any kind of document, a marriage document, a get, right, Shtar Chov, whatever the case is, so for Adar Rishon, you write Adar Rishon, and then for the second Adar, you just simply write Adar. And Rabbi Yehuda Omer Adar Rishon Stam, Adar Sheni Tanyan. He says just the opposite. The first Adar, you just simply write Adar, and then for the Adar Sheni, you write, this is the second Adar. You write Tanyan, the second. Okay, so obviously, a machlokis in terms of which is the default Adar, which one needs notoriety as being Adar Beis. Okay, Adkan, that ends our first daf here in Shkalim. As you can see, a lot of punctuated points. And okay, I'm going to speak a little bit faster just to get through us. Let me quickly review our first day over here in Shkalim. We went over in the Mishnah that on the first day of Adar, so that's when an announcement is made that everyone needs to be sending their machatzis shekel to the Beis HaMikdash, and also announcement of Kalim. And on the 15th day of Adar, so five separate announcements that are made on the 15th day of Adar. Not exactly. Five events on the 15th day of Adar. Reading of the Megillah in a walled city, all infrastructure is repaired, including Sarchei Rabin, which we were not specific about, tomorrow's daf. We are going to be marking off the graves, And we're going to go out for a second time to make sure that there is no kalaim that are growing out of the ground. Again, more of that's going to be discussing in tomorrow. On the Amud Aleph, we dealt with 3 points on the Amud Aleph. Number one, the source of the halacha that the fiscal year of operations in the Beis HaMikdash starts on Rosh Chodesh Nisan. The Gemara gave us 2 sources for that. Second point on the Amud Aleph. In terms of Adar Aleph, Adar Beis, the proclamation is made on Adar Beis, not on Adar Aleph. And the Gemara says it's Mitzdaber. And the Gemara goes over the saliency of that point. Third point on the Amud Aleph, the Chiddush of Rebbe, I'm sorry, I want to get this right. The Chiddush of Rebbe Chizkia. And that is that if you live really far away and shipping is going to take more than a month, so you need to be sending your machatzas a shekel even earlier. It could be the dead of the winter, and you need to ship at that point in time so that your money gets to the Beis HaMikdash by Rosh Chodesh Nisan. Meaning that withdrawal that's done is not drawn against receivables. It's only drawn against money that's currently in the account. And so therefore you have to send it early. And the Gemara goes back and forth in terms of whether or not this Chiddush is in fact correct or not correct. The Gemara left it as a Chiddush, but you could argue with it. On the Amud Beis of today's daf, first of all, the power and strength of the Yetzer Hara. And we see 4 different examples in Chumash where we see how strong the Yetzer Hara is. Actually, the 4th example comes from a pasuk in Sefania. There were 3 collections that were done in the Mishkan. 1 for the Adonim, 2nd for Karbanos, and 3rd for the actual capital building fund, the building of the Mishkan. And the Gemara cited the Pesukim both in Parshas Truma and in Parshas Kisisa that speak to this idea. Next point that we discussed today, the Chiddush of Rebbe Chalbo, that even if you're a Ben Krach, but you were to read the Megillah individually on the 14th, you were Yotzei Zayin with the mitzvah of Kriyas Megillah. And whether or not this is a supportable Chiddush. And then finally, our last point that we discussed today is that when you have an Ibra Yar and you have an Adar Aleph and an Adar Beis, in what ways are they the same and in what way are they different, and how do we date documents? Adkan.